Yes, thank you, Tony, for the introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to make an introduction to our session on labor market and workspace by posing some key points and questions aimed as a framework of our discussion. In our New York conference, one of the insights was that the resurgence of the big cities is mainly due to the deeply change of the economic basis of the cities, which can be shortly described as a shift from a manufacturer-based to a science knowledge-based economy. If we look to Shanghai, we find a comparable transition process, but this transition process is much more complicated. It's extremely accelerated. What happened in 100 years in other countries here have been compressed in 2 decades, and it's superposed by other transformation processes. So Shanghai is confronted with the challenges of a simultaneity of transition processes. Shortly, you could name them from a newly industrializing economy to a knowledge-based service economy, from a state-organized urban working system to a market-driven urban labor market, and from a national city region to a global city. Just to give you a little bit an idea of this acceleration and speed of transformation, I would like to point out 2 figures. If you look on the manufacturing, Shanghai always has been the big national center of manufacturing in China. And the culmination point of manufacturing was reached in the 1990 when the sector employment of manufacturing had about 60% of the total workforce. In the meantime, this manufacturing percentage has been declined to 40%, and we had a shift from the service industry to about 1990 to today from 30% to 50%. It's a tremendous transformation process. And this transformation process was linked with this deep transformation of this state-organized enterprise by downsizing, by closure down, by mergers, by privatization, which means outplacing, which means a decline of formal employment that more than less than 50%. And formal wage employment is directly linked with the access to social insurance regimes. So you can imagine what this means for contingencies for the people and for the economy. So as a result of this transformation processes, today we are confronted with a multiplicity of working worlds and living worlds, embedded in different forms of urban spaces and urban districts. We only have to look outside of the window to see this complexity, this multiplicity of different working and living worlds. Now you could look on this superposed multiplicity as a lack of modernization, but this, I think, would be missing the point. I think just this multiplicity is a real asset. This diversity of working and living worlds can work as a gene pool of innovations, as an asset for economic and social adaptability. But there also is a risk of pulling apart these working and living worlds by an increasing inequality, as well as risk of pushing away the low-end worlds by real estate speculation and uncontrolled urban development. So I think it's a key problem, how we balance this problem. For this, I really would emphasize on the key importance of urban informality, on this living on this local community-based employment systems, which really give also a flexibility but also stability to the city. And the question is, which means and which strategies allow us a control and balancing of the different land use requirements to keep this balance open? As a result of this deep transformation, especially changing from a state-organized working system to a market-driven labor market, and out of the results of the contradictory legacy of the HOKU system, that means the Urban Household Registration System, we have a very deep need of institution building and qualification. So a market-driven labor market is not something falling from heaven. It has to be constructed. It has to be embedded in very sophisticated institutional structures. And there is no blueprint for these institutional structures. You have to reinvent it for each, every situation. So especially with the stop of from a tenure employment system in a state enterprise sector, you have a big need of the notion of employability, not to look on the question that the city and the state can't guarantee a tenure employment, but they can help to stabilize and vitalize the employability. An industrial restructuring and a successful combating of urban unemployment demand and continuous improvement of the qualification of the urban labor pool. And I just would like to point out here two figures which make this the question of the qualification much, which highlight the question of the qualification. In 2002, we had a continuous growth of employment, but we had an unemployment of more than 1.2 million people. At the same time, we had vacancies also from around 1.2 million people. So we have a decoupling of the employment dynamics from the unemployment and a lack of qualified people as demand of the new of the grading up of the industry, manufacturing, and the new service economy. So I would say we can speak of an educational and skills gap. And we have to face this skills gap, this educational gap, by investment in human capital and by open a general access to education facilities, also for migrant workers, migrant entrepreneurs, and by preference for their children. So this will be a key question, I think, for the future. The transition of Shanghai into a global city demands a careful balancing between an external world market oriented and an internal regional and national oriented development strategy. I think, in contrary to most global cities, Shanghai is still integrated in highly developed regional manufacturing links and has strong competitiveness position on local and national markets for domestic products. And this also is an asset you have to keep up. And it's a risky problem just to face on your pathway on global city and forget your strengths you have in your own country and your integration in the Yangtze Delta complex. So the question is, can and should Shanghai keep this local and regional national orientations on this pathway to global city? And which dilemma will arise from such a strategy if this strategy mix? For, you know, it's evident, for it's a contradictory process you have to face. The last key point, the question, which forms of working places and which relations between work, living, and everyday life do a fast-changing economy require? And I'll just make a very, very rough alternative. Functionally specialized locations in high-rise buildings aimed to foster efficiency, or polyfunctional working spaces integrated into a complex urban fabric aimed to foster social connectivity, innovation, and the livable work. So I would propose this would be a framework for our discussion. I'm very much looking forward to the presentations which now will follow. Thank you.